call the meeting of the House Senate Tax Conference Committee to order. We have a full agenda today. We're doing the local option sales taxes today. If Lanesboro could please come to the table. And for everyone that is here today to testify on a sales tax, we're looking at about a 5-minute presentation per group, and then we will go to member questions. Welcome to the House Senate Tax Conference Committee. If you could please state your names and who you represent for the record, please.
Julie Keeney. I'm the director with the Lanesboro Area Chamber of Commerce.
Welcome to the committee.
Bobby Vickerman, city administrator of the city of Lanesboro.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
Tom Dibbing, city council for Lanesboro.
Welcome to the committee, sir. Maybe Pat Dalton could give a little rundown first on each one of these to kind of explain what it's doing, and then they'll each group then can make their case.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I believe everybody got a one-and-a-half-page summary sheet, and it is in order of the side-by-side, so I'm just going to briefly go through that.
Ms. Dahl, if you could just, we'll do each one before they testify, and then we can describe the next one. And so if you go to Lanesboro, who mysteriously was last but now is first. Imagine how that works. Ms. Dahl, Lanesboro.
Mr. Chair, Lanesboro is Section 13 of the House article and Section 21 of the Senate article. It is the same in both bills. It requires... the city of Lanesboro already passed their referendum in the 2010 general election, and the purpose is to raise $800,000 for a number of capital road and utility improvements, and improvements to the Lanesboro High Hazard Dam, Community Center, Library, and City Hall.
Thank you, Ms. Dahl. Who would like to start?
I'll start.
Keeney?
Yes, please. Thank you. Lanesboro faces numerous capital replacement challenges, as you just listed. The normal wear and tear on a city of our size, being 788 in population, would typically not cause the need for repairs. However, due to the tremendous use of our streets, city buildings, and park by the tourism industry, the need for repair and replacement has escalated. And I represent the Chamber of Commerce as well as the Visitor Center and see the direct impact of our visitor footprint on Lanesboro. Our property taxpayers have been burdened, and the local government is requesting a local sales tax to allow some of this burden to be passed on to our visitors. The local sales tax would be used to promote economic development and the infrastructure repair that was listed. The Lanesboro Chamber supports the City of Lanesboro in implementing a local sales tax option. Thank you.
Okay, would anyone else like to testify?
Yes, sir, Chair, please. As I said before, I'm the city administrator, and the city of Lanesboro did pose a question to on the election of 2010, and the vote passed by over 80% in favor of a local sales tax. The number one priority on our list of projects, of course, is our high hazard dam, and the main reason for that is because our dam allows us to operate hydroelectric power. And we've been running that for over 115 years, so we would like to continue to do that. The dam needs some structural repairs in the limestone wall, which is a historic structure as well, and we need to do a concrete wall behind that. So that repair would help us to continue to provide electric power through green power. So that
Thank
is our main
much.
Reason.
Mr. Dibbing on the City Council.
Mr. Chair and members, the one thing that with the small town of Lanesboro, population of around 700. We have very little new construction from year to year. We're kind of lucky if we have one or two homes that are built, so we do not add new tax capacity to our jurisdiction. And if we were to ask the property owners in Lanesboro to do these projects, it would be a tremendous increase on their property tax statement. Thank you.
Questions for members? Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is the city of Hutchinson here?
Good
Thank you, Lanesboro. Mayor is with us today, Hutchinson, home of the Mighty Tigers.
You got a good memory, Mr. Chair.
And it was Lanesboro Burrows, of course. Everybody knows that. if you could state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir, present your testimony. I'm sorry, Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, the provisions for Hutchinson are Section 12 of the House bill, Section 22 of the Senate bill. They are identical in both bills. Hutchinson did pass the referendum in the 2010 general election, and it's for construction and renovation of a wastewater treatment facility. There is no specified dollar amount to be raised, but there is a termination date of 18 years or when the revenues are sufficient.
Your Honor.
Yep. Mayor Steve Cook with the City of Hutchinson. Thanks for the opportunity. And just wanted to clarify that our projects were really construction of a new water plant as well as an expansion to our wastewater plant. And these were done for several reasons, to support the needs of our local industry as well as improve quality and then also to meet tightening regulatory requirements with that. And since that time, with the economy, and we've had some very significant job losses in Hutchinson, and you know, industry has changed and usage has dramatically decreased. And this took another hit earlier this year with further reductions at Hutch Technologies. So because of that, our revenues have really decreased significantly. We've already raised rates. We've done a lot of different things to help address the issue, but the sales tax was a way to help us stabilize rates and try to, with that, encourage future development and industries to move to town to replace some of the jobs. And the 18 years or when revenues are sufficient, that's whichever is less. So the longest it would last would be 18 years. And again, it did pass with nearly 61% of the vote as part of the general election last year.
Thank you, Mayor Cook. Any questions for members for Mayor Cook of Hutchinson?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you. And thank you, Mayor, for that. The difference in the Senate is that for a special election, what's the options of having a special election versus a general election?
Senator Rosen, I think they're the same on this one. Ms. Dahl.
Mr. Chair, Senator, Hutchinson has already held its election. It held it at the 2010 general election.
Senator Rosen.
You have approved. Okay.
On this one, there's some, we've got kind of they vary on what they've had or what they've done. Any other questions for the mayor? Thank you very much, Mayor Cook.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Is Fergus Falls here? Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please. And thank you, Mayor Cook, for being here today.
Thank you. My name is Mark Siebert. I'm the City Administrator of the City of Fergus Falls.
Okay, City Administrator of Fergus Falls, Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Fergus Falls, Section 11 of the House Bill and Section 20 of the Senate Bill. Fergus Falls has not had their election yet. They must hold their referendum at a general election. The purpose of the bill is for construction of a regional ice center. There is a limit on $6.5 million that can be raised for this project, although that doesn't show up on the table. And I believe the language is the same in both bills. And I'm looking at Nora.
I'm sorry.
Ms. Pollack.
No, just time out.
Sure.
Ms. Pollack.
Mr. Chair and members, Ms. Dalton is correct. The Senate bill does not have language for a dollar cap. And I believe also that Fergus Falls has had their referendum to authorize the tax.
I think you've had your referendum.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Okay, if you could state your name again for the record, please.
Mark Sievert, City Administrator.
Can you spell your last name?
S-I-E-V-E-R-T.
Welcome to the committee, sir. Please present your testimony.
Thank you. I do have some handout materials if people would like them, but they are just simply materials that we've handed out before.
That's fine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our project is the Fergus Falls Regional Community Ice Arena. The total project is $8.6 million. That includes $1.6 million of in-kind contribution from the school district as we are building on their site and utilizing their infrastructure from their chiller system make ice at this facility, and that also includes the contribution of their land. We've also had $3 million in private fundraising that has taken place, and so the public cost is $4 million, of which we're asking for a half-cent sales tax to pay for that. We did conduct a referendum in the last general election, and that passed by 72%. On this particular project, again, the sales tax will be used for this arena project and this project only. The Department of Revenue has estimated that it would take 4.5 years to pay off the debt. And once that is paid off, according to statute, it will be sunsetted or stopped. Our tax would only apply to those items that are currently taxable, so it would not apply to food, clothing, prescription medicine, farm equipment, which is obviously a big deal out in our area. And the council did discuss the option of the $20 vehicle transfer fee, but they chose not to do that. The reason we are moving ahead with this project is that the current facility, which does not operate now because of breakdowns that we had right at the end of the last season, and obviously we're choosing not to repair, but it's in an 40-year-old facility at the fairgrounds that was originally built for fair purposes and has been converted. We had expected it to have a 25-year life, and so it's really exceeded that. We did a condition assessment estimating it cost about $5 million to totally repair the facility and felt it was inappropriate to put that kind of money into an old and leased facility. So there's structural issues, things with the mechanical system and whatnot that are really outdated. Again, I want to emphasize the fundraising efforts. The local community has stepped up and pledged in excess of $3 million. They continue to raise money, so those dollars, over $3 million, will be used to provide amenities for non-ice types uses, such as astroturf and netting and youth scholarships and those types of things, so that we can have trade shows and other types of activities in the facility. We estimate that the impact on the community will be about 30 full-time construction jobs. Our Convention and Visitors Bureau and Chamber estimates that on a yearly basis it would pump about $400,000 into the economy, which impacts restaurants, gas stations, those types of things. It would also provide opportunities for new events and activities that we currently cannot handle, as well as this will just be another amenity that will make our community that much more attractive. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sievert. Any questions for members?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Sievert, what's the total square footage then of the facility? From the rendering, looks enormous. And are you able to use all of the pieces of it for various projects or venues?
Yes, we
Mr.
are.
Sievert.
And excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm at a loss on the square footage. I forget exactly what that was. If you look at the diagram, it's the one that says reuse of community assets. Yeah, you are correct. The arenas will be built actually two separate sheets rather than being together like it currently is, and we're utilizing the formal Roosevelt Education Center. Within the last several years, the school district built or remodeled a new facility, so we're repurposing this facility. So if you look off to the side where it says former high school, that's community meeting space that we're having, and then in the middle between the two arenas, that space, existing space that's being remodeled for locker rooms, concessions, those types of things. So it's really working out well to repurpose that. So we're not actually building as much as if we were building on a new site, but the square footage is larger than the current facility that we have.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions for the gentleman from Fergus Falls? Okay, and I need to back up here a little bit, and I'll start with Fergus Falls. Is there anyone that's traveled in that would like to testify in opposition or in support of the Fergus Falls issue? Thank you. Is there anyone on the Hutchinson issue that would like to testify with concerns or support? And to the first one, is there anyone that would wish to testify against the chairman's bill for Lanesboro? Seeing none, we'll move on. Thank you very much, Mr. Siebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Appreciate your time. Now let's go to Anderson B., Clearwater. If you could please join us, folks, from the Clearwater, City of Clearwater. Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, the Clearwater provision, which is in House Section 9 and Senate Section 19, is not actually a new tax. The tax authority was granted in an earlier session, however, in 2008, but some of the uses were removed because they had not been tied to, they had been considered too general in the 2008 legislative session, and the city came back this year tying those improvements to a specific plan as of a certain date, and both bills have the same provision.
Okay, thank you. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What Ms. Dalton just described is true, and I'd like to have the city administrator and the mayor from Clearwater discuss and make their presentation.
Okay, if the mayor could start, please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
I'm Lee Monk from the city, great city of Clearwater.
Can you please spell your last name?
M-O-N-K.
Oh, okay. Welcome, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, representatives, senators. We had asked to have the 0.5% sales tax modified from where it was now, and actually going back to the way it was originally voted on by the citizens of Clearwater, we received an awful lot of flack, if you will, because it didn't come back the same way it had been intended. And they thought I did it. And I said, well, I'm the mayor, but I don't have all the power in the state. So that's why we're back and on bended knee asking for your reconsideration to add those items to the sales tax.
Thank you, Mayor. If you please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
My name is Jennifer Wothy. I'm the city administrator for the city of Clearwater.
Can you please spell your last name?
It's W-O-T-H-E.
Please present your testimony. Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for letting us come today. As Mayor Monk stated, this is a use that our residents did ask for in the referendum that we originally passed back in our election that we took it up. We do have the permission, and we are currently collecting the 0.5% sales tax. We just do not have the permission to use it for our parks within our city, and our residents have stated to the city they want this use put back in. We have held several public forums, and they have projects that we have put on hold and they want to see move forward. So we are just asking for the language to be put back in.
Thank you. Any questions for the mayor of Clearwater or the city administrator, Senator Limmer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mayor, we just heard that there was a comment that the public wants the money devoted to parks now, and how would we formally know that?
Mayor?
It was on the original bill.
Oh, it was.
Senator Limmer?
So maybe I'm missing something. Why are you here then? Or why are you here
because
now?
Mayor, why are you here?
It was.
He was asking himself that question.
It was deleted from the bill that was originally presented.
And passed.
And passed.
Well, do you know why it was deleted?
I don't.
Mayor? Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, the city passed a referendum in 2007 before they came to the legislature with a list of what they wanted to use it, including the parks improvements that they are discussing right now. When they brought their bill forward, their bill just talked about parks improvements and didn't talk about specific improvements and did not tie it to a planning document or anything. And so the legislature, during the conference committee last year, removed that portion of the bill. It didn't change how much they could raise, but it did say they couldn't use it for these undefined park. What they're coming forward with now is tying those parks improvements to a specific planning document. All
right. And, Mr. Chair, in this plan, is there a termination of the tax at some time in the future?
Yes, it has a sunset of 12.5 million, I believe.
Senator Limmer?
That's 12.5 million?
Yes.
And what time would it expire?
Mayor?
Well, it
Let's go to Ms. Dalton here. You've got the.
All right. Depends on the growth.
Mr. Chair, Representative Limmer, the expiration date, which was in the law that passed last year, which has not been changed, is the earlier of 20 years or when the $12.5 million is raised.
All right.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you.
Nope. Any other questions for the folks representing Clearwater? Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the mayor or any of the witnesses. The Capital Investment Committee stopped in Clearwater a couple of years ago, and there were there were issues related to sanitary sewer systems or something. That's what I'm recalling, at least. And maybe it had something to do with your city kind of growing up on each side of the Mississippi, or I'm not sure about that. But did some of those, whatever those issues were at that point for which money was requested, were they, or are they sort of progressing?
Well, we were, thank you. We were fortunate enough to get a PFA loan that really helped a lot, and it was at a minimal interest, and that's what we are currently using. We had looked for some grant money. This bill had already gone through and been passed. It would have been nice to have added it, but we would have gone back for another vote, another referendum, and we thought, well, if we can get this to help some of the issues, then we can use our PFA loan to complete the wastewater treatment. And it is done. It's operating very well. It's an earmark of the state. I think Hutchinson and Clearwater are the only two cities that I know of right now that have this latest state-of-the-art equipment.
Senator Senjum?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Appreciate it.
Any other questions for the folks from Clearwater? Anyone that wishes to testify with concerns on the Clearwater issue? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Chairman.
You, Mayor.
Representative Davis, if I could for a moment, I would
Certainly.
Like to speak in favor of Lanesboro. I know Lanesboro has a great deal of traffic. They have a lot of summer trade, and you have people using all their facilities. So I think it's only fair that they help provide for their improvement.
Your Honor, it is a very fine piece of legislation.
I could tell that it was.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Representative Anderson, for bringing them in.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Thank you very much. Okay, next we'll go to Representative Coonan is here, and Senator Dames. Okay, with the Marshall request. Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, the Marshall local sales tax is in House Section 14. There is no comparable Senate provision. Marshall is seeking a half-cent sales tax to fund two projects, a Minnesota Emergency Response and Industry Training Center and a Southwest Minnesota Regional Sports Center. There's a limitation of $17.29 million that may be spent on it. The provision does have associated bond provision. The tax would expire at the earlier 15 years when revenues are sufficient to meet the $17.29 million. The House made one change to this bill from the way it was originally introduced. It requires that the question put to the voters actually be divided into two questions, one for each of the projects, and that the referendum be held at a general election within the next 2 years.
Thank you, Ms. Dalton. Representative Coonan, welcome to the conference committee. If you could please present this, the Marshall, I almost said the Marshall Plan. The Marshall Plan, and introduce your guests.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members, and thank you for giving us some time here this morning. Marshall's been working on these two projects, the Merit Center and the Regional Sports Center, for quite some time now, and I would like to add that there's good support in surrounding communities, too, so it truly is a regional project, and I'll yield the rest of the time here to these gentlemen, since they've driven quite a ways, they should get the 5 minutes, so thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ben Martig, and members of the committee. Ben Martig, City Administrator for Marshall.
Can you spell your last name?
M as in Mary, A-R-T-I-G. And also not planning to testify, and with us here today is Public Safety Director Rob Yant, as well as Senator Dame's assistant, Wendy Havistow. The senator was not able to be here today, but wanted to note the presence of his representation.
Thank you, Mr. Martig.
Marshall's a significant regional center in southwest Minnesota. Our population of 14,000 doubles during the daytime from the employment that we bring in. Both of these projects, as the representative indicated, are truly regional projects. In fact, we have endorsement by two state agencies on both of these projects. The Merit Center is a Tier 2 public safety training center, one of three existing facilities in the state of Minnesota, as identified under a statewide plan. The current expansion proposal relates to a public safety driving course primarily for police, fire, ambulatory services, one of two in the state of Minnesota. We believe there's a strong demand for this in our part of the state with waiting lists at the other facility, increased travel costs, and limitations on our staffing due to budgetary cuts. We feel this is a necessary benefit. Our facility would be different from others, whereas we have industry that would be able to utilize the facility as well. Obviously, Schwann Food Company is local, ADM. We have major truck traffic through Marshall in the region as well. The second project, I should also note, too, we have $1 million that have been previously authorized in state bonding related to this project, so that's carrying forward. We also had received some operating financing approval by the legislature last year, and I'll touch briefly on that at the end of my comments. The Amateur Sports Center it consists of some outdoor ball fields as well as a two-sheet ice arena that can be converted for a multi-purpose use. This project, although it is recreation-driven, is all about economic development. It's part of our strategy for Lyon County, Marshall, and the region. Our business community, Schwann's, ADM, U.S. Bank, Leasing Corporation, some of our Southwest Minnesota State University has all indicated the growth in retail is important to the recruitment of a workforce into the future. In addition to that, so we have a retail development strategy, hotel development, that's all combined with this project. The southwest region of the state's losing money to Sioux Falls for spending, and we believe this is one piece to bringing that money and keeping that money here in Minnesota and actually recruiting new monies in at that part of the state. So it's really an economic development strategy beyond just sports. I am going to have Roger Madison here speak in a minute with Bremer Bank. He also co-chairs the Amateur Sports Commission. I do believe that as a regional project, this is an appropriate financing mechanism for us to utilize. In regards to the text of the bill, we are requesting consideration for requiring only one item on the referendum to allow for the projects to be combined. The financing was really created for both of those to come together. There's disparities between the two fundings of the different projects, and we believe that it would be important to be in there to be together with that. So we ask for consideration there. Also with respect to the previous legislative approval for financing on to offset some of the operating costs of these facilities, that particular authorization was set to expire or is set to expire in July of next year. We respect the legislative decision to be looking at these items to be put on a general election. And again, we will be having the vote with that. However, we believe it would confuse our voters to split these requests out. So if, in fact, the legislature is looking for a general election provision, we would ask for an extension of our previous authorization to allow us to hold both questions on one referendum on the general election vote. So we'd appreciate that consideration as well. I want to thank you for your consideration and support. Again, we've been at this project a long time, and we believe that it's valued and meets the criteria under the state's guidelines.
Hey, Mr. Marty, could you explain a little bit? I remember we had some issues with the general. It seems to be that things are going towards the general here. What did you need as far as an extension? Could you repeat that?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Originally, we had wrote the bill to allow for a special election. And the reason we were doing that specifically for our project, besides just being able to get moving on it, more importantly would be is that we had previous authorization where we had a 1.5% hospitality tax to offset some of the operating approvals. The legislature had previously approved that, set to expire this coming just July of 2012. So we were originally asking for a special election to be able to hold them both before that set to expire because, as you know, there is no general election this November. In getting feedback, though, during this process, it appeared that there was some support to go to a general election requirement for a number of these. So we are basically saying we would be willing to compromise to pull off of that requirement of having a special election if you were to extend our other authorization to match up with the general election. Is that clear?
Did you get that?
Mr. Chair, this has to do with the fact that we did allow them, I believe it's the lodging tax?
Yes.
The lodging tax last year with a general, with an election requirement, and it was kind of supposed to happen already. They essentially want to have another 2 years to hold the referendum on the lodging portion as well. I believe that's what they're looking for.
Why don't you have your people talk to my people and we'll work on that.
Okay.
Any other testimony on the Marshall Plan?
Yes. My name is Roger Madison. I'm the CEO of the Bremer Banks in Southwest Minnesota and the co-chair of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission, Southwest Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission.
Welcome, committee, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chair, what I wanted to talk about just for a minute is the, while this was set up, as been mentioned, as an economic impact tool. Both projects started out in part because of the geographics that we have, but the significant reason we were chosen as a partner of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission, specifically for the Sports Commission side of this, is that there was an understanding of the collaborative effort that we would be able to work together to accomplish our goal. That collaborative nature is shown in the partnership we have created with Minnesota, with the Merit Center, and with the Amateur Sports Commission in furthering our goal and trying to pull something together on a common basis. We want to continue with that. We do believe that this is something with broad support, with some of the things that have gone on since we started these projects. We have a number of groups in the community that are working toward what is good for Marshall and the area. One of them is the Leadership Academy of Marshall. One is a group called Business Retention and Expansion Task Force. And the other is Marshall, My Marshall, which is a group of citizens growing out of a Blandon Foundation initiative. All of those have taken on these two projects as a combined project that we would push forward as their primary goal. They have said this is one of the things we want to see make happen. We also had some concerns expressed previously by a member of this committee that we would have a disparate effect on other smaller communities around us if we were to be allowed to have a local option sales tax. To that end, we did some research with the University of Minnesota Extension Office, which shows that 50% of our jobs come that are in Marshall come The workers come from outside of our community. We double our workforce every day by people who live in those communities around us. We also went to each of the city councils in five of those surrounding communities and asked them, well, the point we made was that we believe what's good for Marshall is good for those communities as well. And in all of those situations, we received unanimous support through letters of recommendation or resolutions from the city council. We have a number of places that we're seeing support within our community and in the general area, and so we do believe that this is something that is a very positive impact for our region, and we wish to keep these two projects together to continue to move them forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Madison. Any questions for members? Representative Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen, I'm sorry.
Senator Rosen, yeah. Well, I promise to have the right project this time when I ask this question.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
I was on the wrong page.
Senator Rosen.
I just first would like to say hello to Mr. Martek. I used to be his senator, and he's moved to Marshall, so I believe this is a great project. My question is very simple. I heard you guys have a 5-star restaurant in Marshall. Is that true? It's one of the first, only 5-star restaurants in that area or
Mr.
the state?
Mr. Madison?
Or?
The Landmark Bistro was a restaurant created by the Schwann's Corporation that continues to be there today, and yes, it is a dining destination.
5-star?
I know they had the designation. I don't know if that continues.
Okay.
I can't say that.
Okay.
I can see a bonding trip.
And guess who's the chair?
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Rosen, I have eaten at that restaurant. It was fabulous. It was very good.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Splitting of the two projects on the ballot, was that an amendment that came in tax committee, or was...
Ms. Dahl.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen.
History on the split to go to two.
The split was actually made when the language of the bill was included in the omnibus tax bill, but it had not been offered as a separate amendment during the hearing.
Thank you.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you,
Mr. Any other questions from members? Representative Rombeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just really quickly, you describe yourself as a kind of a regional center, and how do you define the regional center? I mean, how big is it, and how many counties, cities does it incorporate or include?
Mr. Martek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I guess it's a little bit of a gray area on how you might define a regional center. We've had numerous studies, retail and employment studies done by the University of Minnesota. Extension Service, we've been utilizing a number of other consultant studies that have been done historically in the community, and we've identified probably about a 40-mile radius beyond the city of Marshall's boundaries that retail trade area and employment really kind of generates. Some of the new census data, the numbers probably aren't completely accurate, but again, our population's about 14,000 during the daytime, and we estimate it doubles, 14,000, and it doubles during the daytime. Yeah, I think one of the older retail studies suggests our trade area is maybe around 40 to 50,000 that we serve. So, again, it's a little bit of that's kind of how we define that.
Mr. Madison.
Great. Mr. Chair, if I may add that this was an article out of the Marshall Independent this week, which is about a hotel expansion 25 miles from Marshall, which the manager of that hotel says there is a lot of overflow from events in Marshall. Basketball tournaments, speech contests in Marshall bring a lot of people to the hotel. They are expanding it by 75 rooms.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I see Senator Ortman's busy in a conversation, but I'm wondering if you and Senator Ortman might consider, independent of what this city thinks, why we're requiring them to vote on a lodging tax. And I know how it got into the tax conference committee. Senator Bach insisted on it. I recall the Marshall folks said we'd like one. I don't know if they were saying that under duress, but, you know, we've never had anyone ever vote on a lodging tax, ever. And it's sort of silly. I kind of hate to help out the Vikings advocates sitting over there, but I'm sure they're dreaming up how to tax my city to help pay for a stadium with metro lodging taxes. I think that's part of the proposal. But because I'm a firm believer in referendums on local option sales taxes, because they're paid every single day by the residents of those districts. But lodging taxes are paid by people who don't live there. So, you know, what residents would ever not vote yes on a lodging tax? I can tax not me for stuff in my city. You know, so it's going to pass every time. And this is the only community I'm ever aware of in Minnesota history who's being asked to hold an election to tax the hotels, and it's going to pass with 100% of the vote. So, I mean, this isn't even why they're here today. They're on something else. But if you listen to the testimony, they've got multiple things going on. And I wonder, in the end of the day, when there is a signed conference committee report, if you would consider, with conversations with them, and maybe they disagree here, removing that requirement. Really, I mean, we have so many lodging taxes, and Ms. Dalton could tell us, and not a single one has gone to a vote, because this is a way to export the tax to people who come and visit your community. So, you know, why they would pay for an election for that, I think, is a little odd. And my recollection is Senator Bach was more sort of like, everyone's going to take a vote, because he's much more of a proponent of these local option sales taxes, and the House has been historically against them. But now we've got this lodging tax issue unrelated, and they have to calculate that into how they set the ballot. So just a note, maybe Ms. Dalton can correct me, but I just don't know why we would even ask them to do that. But
Mr. Martick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to clarify, too, when I referred to hospitality, since we're getting into it a little bit more, it's actually a lodging, food, and beverage tax that was authorized. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to clarify that, first of all. And last year, too, it wasn't a duress issue. From our community, and Mr. Madison could probably talk about this as well, this project's truly being sold as a community vote, community decision for these projects, and for full transparency to them to make the decision, realizing that the financing is all combined together for both of these projects. We are bringing it, and our intention has always been to the community. We will bring the full package to you to decide. And regardless of whether the legislature allows us to not have a vote, the community will have a vote, and we have made that decision.
Representative Lincheski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. It sounds like they want that, and I guess they're going to have that. But just as the chairs, I mean, I hope you think about that going forward, that there is no example in Minnesota history where we have required a referendum on lodging taxes. So, you know, I'd hate to have future folks use that as a precedent. And again, I'm not trying to help the folks who want to tax my city. but lodging really is that one piece that we know. The people who live in Marshall do not sleep in the hotels in Marshall at night unless they're having some problems we don't know about. But
flooding of their basement.
Yeah. TMI. So thank you. Just something to think about. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lincheski. Any other questions from members, or we'll go to see if there's any folks that have come in with concerns.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Senjum.
And this may have already been stated, but do you have an idea how much your sales tax would accrue in Marshall in a year?
Mr. Martick or Mr. Madison?
You remember the numbers, Mr. Madison? It's been a while since I've looked at the specifics. I know that the $17 million figure at the time we had the sales tax data kind of matched up for an annual debt service on that, and I think it was about $1.2 million per year.
That's
that
correct.
We were looking at covering.
Mr. Madison?
It is correct, $1.2 million per year.
Senator Senjum?
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from anyone in the audience? Okay, we will now go to the great city of Medford. Thank you very much, Mr. Markey, Mr. Madison, Representative Poon, and thank you. Okay, we have Representative Fritz and Senator Perry. And from Medford, home of the Mighty Tigers, Class A football champions, 1981. I know I coached and taught at Ellendale that particular year, and you whooped us pretty good.
Yes.
It was a good team.
Very good. Yes. Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sanders.
My good friend coached that team.
What was his name?
John Gross.
That's right.
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, the Medford local sales tax is a House-only provision. It's in House Section 15. It's a new tax, half-cent, requiring approval at the next general election. The amount that can be raised is $4.2 million, plus the interest on the bonds. The tax expires 20 years at the earlier of 20 years or when revenues are sufficient to pay off the bonds. And the purpose of this sales tax is to repay Minnesota Public Finance Authority loans for, I believe, their wastewater treatment facility.
Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I'd like to introduce the mayor of Medford, Danny Thomas, and also with us today is Mr. Anhorn. Mr. Anhorn is born and raised in the city of Medford and probably played some football. And he is here as well, and also is a longtime businessman and owns Anhorn businesses in the local area. Medford is a small community just south of Faribault, and I would like to turn it over now to Mayor Thomas.
Thank you,
welcome to the committee, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Over the past 5 years, Medford has spent $4.2 million on our wastewater plant and our water updates. In the community of Medford, there's 477 homes. There's 1,200 actual residents in Medford. The outlet is in Medford. There's 35 stores there. Ritchie Brothers is in Medford, too. With the mandates that come down from the state, we've had to do these updates. And what has happened is our water bills in Medford are more than our gas bills on a monthly basis. On average, a two-family home, it's about $75 a month for water, and our gas bills are running about $68. A four-person family is about $150 to $160 a month for their water bills, and their gas is running $100 to $110 a month on an average. So what it's done to the city of Medford, the residents cannot afford this anymore. The other part is in about 2 years, we got to do another update to our wastewater plant, which is going to be about $1.4 million to meet state standards. Now, we believe in the state standards, and they're right. But for a small community like Medford to pay for this, it's very, very hard for the citizens of Medford to actually pay for this. To get new development in Medford, we got trunk fees. On an average for a home or for a business to come into Medford, it's $8,400 an acre for any business to be put up in Medford. A home, before it even gets put a nail to it, it's $1,270. So there's no reason that the ergonomic development, people would want to come to Medford to build. So it's very, very important to us that we get this 0.5% sales tax to actually help our citizens of Medford. I guess all I got to say is just please give us the chance to, as citizens of Medford, vote and let the citizens of Medford decide what's best for Medford. Okay?
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Anhorn?
Yes, correct.
Welcome to the committee, sir. If you could please provide your testimony.
like I say, I obviously, as a resident of Medford, am being affected by the water bills the way they are. And I believe it'd be a great thing to give our people of our community an opportunity to let them decide if we could go ahead with this project.
Thank you, sir. Senator Perry, any comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I guess last year when I was in front of the tax committee for the Owatonna tax to extend that, you know, my belief is that if we truly want to empower our local citizens and give them the right to make the decision, this is a good way to go about it. And I wholly support this effort here, and I would hope that the committee would also. Thank you.
Representative Fritz, any closing comments? Or?
Well, Medford is a wonderful community. It is a growing community, and I would like to help the folks out. We did have a flood. We suffered a lot of damage last year. We've come through that. I'm only about 4 miles from there, so I've been very connected over the years with the community. It's a wonderful community to raise children, a great school system. And I hear all the time about the water bills when I door knock, believe me.
Thank you. Questions for members? Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Mayor. Welcome to the Tax Committee. We've had some of the same problems in communities in my district. New Germany in particular has been working very hard to meet the standards, but can't. And the water bills have gone through the roof. In fact, the state has told the city that they can no longer do new hookups without first correcting the water issues, which creates a very difficult problem for them because you can't develop if you can't promise more hookups, and if you can't meet the standards, then you can't grow to build the base to pay for the water improvements. And so it's a terrible box to be in. The difference between Medford and New Germany, as far as I can tell, is the base for a local option sales tax. New Germany doesn't have that base and could not support a local option sales tax, but you do, and I think that it's great that you're looking at the options. How do you resolve this problem? Can you resolve it locally without more state subsidies or reduced public funding? And I appreciate the fact that you're working hard to find a solution within your community to solve this dilemma, and I wish you well with it. I think this is a very good and commendable purpose for raising local option sales taxes. It's to meet the infrastructure needs of the community. I think that's perfectly appropriate, and I appreciate your work on this, and Representative and Senator, your work as well in doing this. So you'll have my support.
Thank you.
Mayor Thomas, is the outlet, is that within the city limits of Medford?
Yes, the outlet is, and Ritchie Brothers is too, within city limits.
Okay. Great mall. Got a Nike store there.
Yes.
Senator Senjum?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the witnesses, as before, do you have any idea what amount of money sales tax would raise in Medford in a year?
Yeah, I do. About 88 to 90,000 a year.
Okay,
that's about what we're figuring.
Senator Senjum,
thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Anyone that would like to testify with concerns on the Medford issue? Thank you very much, Representative Fritz, Mayor Thomas, Mr. Anhorn, and Senator Perry. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Now go to Hermantown. If Hermantown could please join us. Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the provisions for Hermantown are in House Section 5 and Senate Section 15. When Hermantown was originally given its local sales tax, it was allowed to raise a tax up to 1%. However, when it held its referendum, it only requested a sales tax of 0.5%, and that's all they imposed. Basically, what this bill is asking is that they be allowed to go back to the voters for the additional 0.5%. It does not change the authorized uses, nor does it change any of the bonding authority or the amount that could be raised. The Senate and the House are similar. However, the Senate does allow for a special election as well as a general election.
If you could please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Arlene Tucker. I'm the finance director for the city of Hermantown.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. What I think that there has been distributed to you, you'll see that there is a resolution that was passed by city council to increase the rate to 1%. We have had our tax collections through the last several years. In 2010, we had less collections than we did in 2006. And so this has really bared on being able to meet our debt obligations. And so we're anticipating and being for some time $300,000 short in collections to the debt payments. And we have what originally how this came about is that Hermantown became a city in 1976. At that time, it was a township. And so the original sales tax came about so that we'd be able to construct sewer trunk lines so that we could be able to increase the development in the city, being able to provide sewer and water services to residents. In the last 10 years, we have grown by 26%. And certainly the needs are out there as well in terms of more and more people that are wanting to have extensions, and we have done that. We have put in the water extensions, the sewer extensions, and so on else, and have numerous housing developments that have been created. And so with the problem of not being able to have enough collection coming in, and knowing that the community at that time that was created, I believe it was 1996 or 97, then had the support of 1%. We have spoken to and have had many discussions with the local Chamber of Commerce, and so we have seen support on this issue. And also I think that, you know, we're anticipating as to the growth of our community and the growth of infrastructure that we will need to address as time goes on as well.
Any questions from members for Ms. Tucker? Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. I know you testified about this provision in the Senate Tax Committee as well with Senator Bach. What's the reason for asking for a special election instead of relying on a general election?
Ms. Tucker?
I believe that we have until next year to have it, that we could have it in the general election next year. We could have a choice of this year or next year.
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, I believe their original legislation, that was just what they asked for, and that's not totally uncommon, and basically kind of gives them two bites at the apple. It also means that they don't have to necessarily wait for 2 years before the increase goes into effect.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, that would be of concern to me, that two bites at the same apple. And we have worked very hard in the Senate to set a new policy direction to say general election only, and I'm wondering, would you be opposed to that kind of a change here, that we stick to the policy of general election?
Ms. Tucker?
Yes, Chair and Senator Ortman, no, we would not be.
Senator Ortman?
Thank you.
Any other questions for members? Representative Anderson S.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I perhaps missed this part, but you were looking to spend funds for wastewater. Is that what it was? Or could you explain to me what the half-cent sales tax will go towards?
Ms. Tucker?
Yes, Senator Chair and Anderson, at this point it is to be able to cover the deficit that we have in terms of tax collection and also the debt payments. And being able to, because we are not earning enough tax collections to make our debt payments, so this will be able to cover our shortfall that we have. And then also, as we are looking into the future to help prepare ourselves for the growing needs that are in our community.
Representative Anderson S.
And you just recently built a brand new city hall, fire station, the whole kit and caboodle. Could you tell me how much was spent on that?
Oh, Ms. Tucker? Goodness.
Yes, Chair, and you surprised me on this one. The public safety facility was built over 10 years ago. And then the city hall addition was completed in January of 2008. I don't have those numbers in my head right now. I was not here. I was not employed at that time, so I think that's why it's not refreshing right now at this point. But I certainly can provide that information as soon as possible.
Person Anderson, S.
I think that would be helpful, just to know how much was spent on the City Hall addition for 2008 and how much was spent for the public safety building overall. It would be really helpful to know.
Thank you. Any further questions from members? Ms. Tucker, this is kind of on the issue, but not.
Send him when you have it.
There's another bill that I carried that had to do with a study of the zip code issue. Has any of that been? Maybe Mr. Mossman, could you help us out on that briefly?
Sure. Mr. Chair and members, there is language in the House bill relating to, I believe it's, I can't find the section right now, but requiring the department to do a study of zip codes and in terms of whether or not the sales tax collection The local sales tax collections in the Hermantown and Duluth area, but in any areas where there are some areas of the state where there's local option sales taxes, in particular where zip codes might cover more than one jurisdiction. And the concern is whether or not the sales tax is being accurately collected and remitted to the appropriate jurisdiction. And a couple things just to say here. We've had some nice conversations with Ms. Tucker after a Senate hearing last week, and we the department has on its website a sales tax calculator that we encourage all businesses and all vendors. A lot of times the local governments or other businesses that are collecting sales tax will use a vendor to help identify where sales taxes should be collected and remitted. And we update our database quarterly for the nine-digit zip codes working with the post office, and we believe that our nine-digit zip code calculator is working correctly, but not everyone is using it for nine digits. And so under the law, when you have a jurisdiction or a zip code that has more than one sales tax, if you only use the five-digit zip code, the law requires you to charge the lower of the sales tax, and then there's the question of whether or not it's remitted to the right place. What I would also say is since this issue has come up, we have a group of folks working in the department to see if we can actually just find a way to work with the areas of interest and solve this problem as opposed to the study and bring that solution to you as well. So we're working on that.
Assistant Commissioner Mossman, on the bill that I had, I think there was a fiscal note on that. Do you think there is some way you could work within the department to eliminate that?
Mr. Chair, that's what we're trying to see. The study, I believe, is – actually, I don't have the number. I'm looking at Ms. Masha. I believe it's –
It was
– Ms. Masha?
Mr. Chair, members, the fiscal note was $68,000. However, the House is carrying it on the spreadsheet for $35,000. So it was a relatively small amount, but there was a cost.
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, I believe that's correct.
Thank you, Ms. Dalton. I've got Senator Senjum Rose and then Lunchesky. Representative Lunchesky. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Tucker, was it?
Yes, it is.
Ms. Tucker, I don't want to get too repetitive, but do you have any idea what a 1% sales tax in Hermantown would draw in a year? Terms of numbers of dollars, and if you don't, that's okay.
Okay.
Ms. Tucker?
Mr. Chair, Senator Stangium, it was in terms of 0.5% is around $1 million, okay. So it would be $2 million.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, and Ms. Tucker, then kind of looking for the statute, the authorizing statute, but does the Hermantown sales tax have a dedicated purpose to it, or is it just for general operating money, and is there a sunset to it, or is it a forever sales tax the way it's constructed right now?
Ms. Tucker?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Senator Stangium. There is a sunset of March 31st, I believe, 2023, and there was a specific purpose for the sales tax, and it was for the infrastructure of the city to put in three phases of sewer trunk line, and also water tower, and some water lines, and then also to finance the public safety building and the addition to the city hall.
Okay, Mr. Chair, thank you very much. Thank you,
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Assistant Commissioner Mossman, this study for Hermantown on the zip codes, will this affect this chart, the local sales tax projections prior and current, because this is very disturbing how they could be that off on the current and projected.
Assistant Commissioner.
Mr. Chair and Senator Rosen, I would have no basis really for knowing whether or not necessarily it's going to affect this chart or what exactly the sale, you know, there could be a number of different things driving this chart. You know, certainly if sales taxes were being collected correctly at one point, it would seem like, given this chart, it would have to kind of have been a concerted change for it to drop down. I'm not sure. So I can't speak to that. I know that our issue would be primarily The study is, if you look at the language that's in the bill, essentially asks us to do a study to identify the issues and the problems with the zip code and identify solutions. And just what we're looking at is if we can identify some solutions now and that we can put them in place, that let's just do that. And I think then the taxpayers and the local governments and the department would both be in a better position without having to do the study at that point.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Ms. Tucker, could you explain this chart and if the study and what's driving this chart and these projections?
Ms. Tucker.
The chart that you handed out.
Okay. Mr. Chair and Senator Rosen, chart on collections?
The local sales tax projections.
Senator Rosen. Ms. Tucker.
Projections. Yes. What we have here is the blue line has what the estimate was according to when this was first created in terms of coming in for the local sales tax. And I was looking at the projections that had been in place estimating what the tax collections would be. And when I'm looking back to the last 5 years, and in 2010, our collections were less than they were in 2006. And looking at the current economy, we don't see any reason, any basis to be able to increase or to be able to show an increase in this graph. And that's why we have it flat. And because it has been less than it was 6 years since 2006. And I wish that, you know, I could say, but in terms of having an increase on there, but at this point, that's what we see is flat.
Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair, I think the recession's part of this line. And, I was just asking Ms. Dalton, maybe she can tell us about this had been an earlier provision and then it was changed to a hard date. So maybe Ms. Dalton can shed some light on.
Chair, members of the committee, Hermantown originally had an expiration date of the earlier of 10 years or when the revenues were sufficient. When they added some uses, particularly for the administrative building at a later date, a hard expiration date was put into the bill, and that's the March 31st, 2026 date that they expire. So it expires regardless of whether they've got the money at that point.
Okay. Richard Lincheski. Any other questions? Anyone that has driven in to testify with concerns on the Hermantown issue? Okay, thank you very much. We will now go to Cloquet. Thank you, Ms. Tucker. Thank you. And Mr. Mossman, I keep calling you assistant commissioner. Are you assistant or deputy?
Mr. Chairman, my title is assistant commissioner.
Which is higher, assistant or deputy?
I think they're the same.
We all work well together. Deputy.
Deputy Sire, I think you should be a deputy. You should talk to your boss on that. You do a good job. Okay, let's go to Cloquet. I got the tax to try and tell the commissioner how to run his department.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. Cloquet. Pat Dalton.
Mr. Chair, the Cloquet local sales tax is a house-only provision. It is in Section 10. It is a half-cent sales tax requiring approval at a general election. The purpose of the tax is to pay for a number of improvements, park improvements, improvements related to property development along Highway 33 and I-35, and other improvements in the city's comprehensive land use plan. The total amount that can be raised or project costs that can be paid for is $16.5 million. There are bonds associated with this, and the tax would expire at the earlier of 30 years or when revenues are sufficient to pay the debt.
Okay, any question? Anyone here from the city of Cloquet? Okay, questions from members for Ms. Dalton or Ms. Pollack regarding okay. Okay, thank you. Somebody. Okay, item next,
We've got Lincheski, Limmer, Hennepin County existing. It's in the House plan. Representative Lincheski, or I'm sorry, Ms. Dalton first, then we'll get into discussion. Ms. Dalton, can you describe that part of the House bill?
Mr. Chair, this is House Sections 2 and 3, and again, it's a House-only provision. This relates to the Hennepin County baseball tax. It's a tax at 0.15%, not at 0.125%. I'm sorry about that. The original authority for that tax allows the up to $4 million plus inflation to be put aside for both libraries and youth sports, and then it also gives authority to the Ballpark Commission to put some of the money into reserves for ongoing costs. What these two provisions do is it limits the amount that can be used annually for libraries and youth sports to a hard $4 million without inflation, and it also limits the amount of money that can be put into the reserves to, I believe, $20 million, therefore making sure that the rest of it goes towards paying off the bonds as quickly as possible.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Dahl. Any questions on the House provision? Ursula Lincheski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think on behalf of Senator Limmer and I, we really want to thank Chair Runbeck and Chair Davids for including this on the House side. I really want to convince my Senate colleagues here to end this tax. The House has taken a position on it. You know, I just will recall, especially for people who weren't here when that vote was taken, we didn't get to vote on this. The people of Hennepin did not get to vote on this, and this bill simply allows that we know this tax is going to come to an end. Everybody who passed this tax on to us got their stadium. It's people are going there, and this bill allows the bonds to be defeased for that, and then the tax turns off. At the time of the stadium debate, nobody who was supporting the stadium ever said, and we want this tax to keep going, and it needs to be permanentized, that it's going to come to an end. The reason it's not permanent and what the bill changes is the amount of the reserve fund was never designated. So, you know, the Hennepin County commissioners, I won't say that they're going to game the system, but they could in current law. They could continue to build any reserve. Indeed, you could over time put hundreds of millions of dollars in there, and then a future legislature could come along and redo the whole stadium or do a Viking stadium. And you know, I don't have any doubt that there's some folks who'd like to do that with Hennepin County's residents' taxes, to make them build a Viking stadium. But the Vikings proponents should do that straight up. If they want to sort of stick it to the people of Hennepin again, then they should take a vote to do so, not use what people are terming excess revenues. This tax was never intended to supplant, to help anything but the stadium. There's a little bit of library and youth sports in there, and I think that's unfortunate too. Even though I support those things, this isn't, you know, how you fund it. But I just would like the Senate to know that in current law, this tax never ends. And you may hear testimony from somebody who will say, well, yeah, it does. We're going to end it. We promise. Doesn't say that anywhere. And in all the other local option sales tax, we've just heard them all today. They have a date. You either defease the bonds or this date. We don't have that in this bill. And if, Mr. Chair, if you would just permit me, I just, for the record, I want folks to know who we're talking about is paying this tax for 30 years and more if it doesn't end. It is, you know, my constituents, I checked this morning, I've received over 600 people, households, ask me now to get rid of this tax. And over the surveys I've done in my district year after year after year, about 75% of my residents oppose this tax, yet they pay it every single day. If they buy toothpaste, everything they buy, they don't pay it at the stadium, they pay it every time they go shopping, every time they do anything. And I could have brought in my boxes of folks who can show you this, but that's just me. So I just want to, if you would permit me, Mr. Chair, I just want to tell you who's paying this tax forever right now in current law. They are the constituents of Representative Mazerel, Downey, Lincheski, Thiessen, Loeffler, Phyllis Kahn, Marion Green, Joe McDonald, Linda Slocum, Frank Hornstein, Gene Wagenius, Michael Nelson, Lynn Carlson, Sandy Peterson, Ryan Winkler, Steve Simon, John Benson, Sarah Anderson, Joe Mullery, Jennifer Loon, Kirk Stensrud, Bobby Joe Champion, Karen Clark, Jeff Hayden, Jim Dabney, Connie Depke, Steve Smith, Kurt Zellers, Deborah Hillstrom, Joyce Pepin, Melissa Hortman, Mindy Greiling, Denise Dietrich. Now, Mindy Greiling has just a small piece, as does Joe McDonald. Our constituents pay this tax every day. In the Senate, these are the senators whose constituents are paying this tax. And we'd like to know it's going to come to an end. Benjamin Cruz, Warren Limmer, Jen Olson, Dan Hall, Jeff Michelle, David Hand, Terry Bonoff, Ron Latz, Ann Ress, Linda Shy, John Marty, small portion, Linda Higgins, Larry Pogemiller, Scott Dibble, Linda Berglund, Patricia Torres-Ray, Ken Kielash. Our residents have a right to see this tax end. I really hope the Senate can pass this provision. If other legislators down the road want to do something with the Vikings, which, you know, I would oppose, as many would here, you can do it straight up. You can take a vote again to make the people of Hennepin pay for it and not let us have a vote. But I will tell you that many of my constituents who supported the stadium have written to me and said I was a huge fan, I supported the bill, and I think this tax should come to an end. And I really hope we can do this little tiny piece. I think people will say that, you know, well, we can just trust the folks, you know, who voted to not let us have a vote. You know, I'm just not so sure about that. And I don't mean the legislature. You know, that's one set of issues. But the Hennepin County commissioners chose to not let the people of Hennepin have a vote. And I think the people of Hennepin County are a little concerned what might happen going forward. Their testimony has been in the House that that's not what they're about. That may or may not be. But we're not all going to be here forever. And this tax is going to go on right now. It's been going on for 5 years, and it's scheduled for about another 2025, ideally. But nowhere does it say it will ever end. And it should end. And the way it does this is it caps the reserve fund at an amount so that they can continue to do the ongoing maintenance of this Twins facility, which is what they're supposed to use it for. You know, you need new light bulbs, fine. But they can't build an ongoing, in current law, there's no cap to the reserve fund. And this bill was supposed to be another one of these local option sales taxes that are all supposed to get a vote of the people and turn off. This current Twins tax has neither. So I hope the Senate can support the House position. And I guess, Mr. Chair, if Senator Limmer gets a chance to weigh in, I hope he can add some comments to what I've just said. But I think this is just important to end this tax.
Thank you, Representative Lincheski. I just wanted to get kind of an overview as to where we're going on this. Before we take member questions, I'd like to see if there's anyone in the audience who would like to testify for or against, or not against, that's so harsh, with concerns. About this issue. Could I have Mr. Schreiber, please take a seat. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify on this issue? Okay, please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
My name is Bill Schreiber, representing Hennepin County.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, we can get Hennepin County board members here to talk about this issue if the chair would like. But let me briefly summarize that the Hennepin County board is opposed to this provision. The issue with funding youth sports and extending library hours was an integral part of the package that was before the legislature. It didn't happen at the legislature as some type of deal-cutting arrangement. It was an integral part where the Hennepin County commissioners would have not voted for the imposition of the 0.15% sales tax without that provision included. So to put a limit on what can be used for extending library office or library hours as well as youth sports would be in total contradiction to the intent of the Hennepin County Board originally. Secondly, as it relates to cutting off the tax, members, that may be an appropriate measure once the ballpark authority in Hennepin County has a full understanding of what the costs are going to be involved in maintaining a ballpark. It's only been open 1 year, and there aren't many maintenance costs involved after 1 year. There will be wear and tear. And some of these dollars are going to have to be used for that. So 5 years from now, 10 years from now, one can take a look at it and if it appears as though it can be stopped earlier, certainly that would be of consideration. Hennepin County has a AAA credit rating, just as does the state of Minnesota. You don't get AAA credit ratings without managing your resources well. They have already defeased some of the latest bonds that were issued for the ballpark that have the highest rate of interest, and their financial management people are looking at that at all times. If it's cost effective to defease the bonds because of a high rate of interest, you go ahead and do it, providing you have sufficient reserves to take care of the other bondholders to make sure that they're going to be paid on a timely basis. So we believe that Hennepin County is very capable of to manage this this program, and any legislative action the board would view as very premature. We need a track record and experience in operating a ballpark.
Thank you, Mr. Schreiber. Mr. Chair. Questions for Mr. Schreiber from was there anyone else who wanted to testify? Okay. Questions from Confrey, Senator Limmer.
Thank you. Mr. Schreiber, can you help me recall, how did this county get out of the public referendum requirement? Do you remember? Was that a special grant of repealing that requirement by the legislature for this purpose, or is it somewhere in some charter or existing law?
Oh. Mr. Chairman, and your staff was here as well at that time, but my recollection is that the legislation from the time it was introduced said, notwithstanding whatever section of law it says that relates to a referendum, so it was exempted from so, that referendum requirement.
Thank you, Mr. Schreiber. And also, I can't recall, but was the funding for that stadium plan, was it originally planned to pay for the wear and tear and ongoing maintenance cost of the stadium by this existing tax provision?
Mr. Schreiber?
Mr. Chairman, that is my understanding, yes.
All right.
Senator Limmer?
Thank you. I don't have further questions for Mr. Schreiber, but I do want to make some comments about the provision.
Go ahead.
I think there's a common discussion point and a question that we have had for numerous years on any local option sales tax. And the question is when does the tax end? We have made a point of that on every little town that's come before the legislature, asking when is it going to end. Often, cities will continue to want the money. They've gotten used to being or relying on that resource, despite the fact that the project they originally came to the legislature to get approval for, that project has ended, and sometimes they come and seek authority to extend that tax. And if the public is in favor of it, I think we're pretty much of the mind to extend it, provided that the public is involved. Now, this has been a rather historical discussion about the Twins Stadium, and it's not so much the merit of do you want the Twins to stay or do you want the Twins not to stay. This is a tax policy that we're talking about. And the tax policy is questioning whether or not we put into a tax or a local option sales tax by law is required to have a public referendum on it, but the public was denied that opportunity because it was put into the law. The legislature, just as Mr. Schreiber said, they took out the requirement for Hennepin County. And Hennepin County made an affirmative argument saying that we don't need to bring this to the public. I'm almost to the point of saying the county commissioners are exercising a brand of flim-flam on the taxpayers. By not allowing them to have permission, just like any other taxpayer in the state of Minnesota. So I'm greatly annoyed that the taxpayers in Hennepin County were simply ignored. And the interest of the legislature, collectively, they recognized that the Twins Stadium was of such a strong state interest that it was not only authorized, But instead of recognizing it as such a strong state interest that a whole state tax plan or a revenue plan could fund it, they dumped it all on Hennepin County. Now I find that to be rather repugnant. I find it to be unfair. I find it that Hennepin County has really overextended its authority in reference to its relationship with its taxpayers. And Mr. Schreiber, if you could pass on to the county board, if they had an opportunity, I'd love to have them come to the tax committee and explain their interest in this. Because quite honestly, we need to have a public discussion on this, and we need to make it as public as possible. The wear and tear of, I suppose, if this is the case, then every town that comes here for a local sales option tax is probably going to have to come back here and say, well, you know, that ice rink that we want, or that civic center, or that fire hall that we want, we forgot to tell you there's wear and tear on that building, and there's general maintenance on that building, so we have to justify continuing the tax on everything that we've asked for in a local option sales tax. We're beginning to open a door really far and wide now, and I'm really disappointed that the legislature went forward in the plan that they did then. And if you ever go around the Capitol, all of the legislators are kind of snickering that don't live in Hennepin County. Yeah, why wouldn't we vote for a stadium when we don't have to pay for it? I think that's a very common joke around the Capitol. It's been that way for a long time, but Katie bar the door. It's going to happen to somebody else. It's going to happen to another county where the state interest is recognized in whatever it is, but the next county taxpayers may be next, and you get isolated and you get targeted, and for some reason, they'll ram it through again.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Loon and then Luncheski.
Mr. Chairman, if...
Oh, Mr. Schreiber?
Well, if I might respond to Senator Limmer.
Certainly.
And I think we all understand that there are differing opinions as to what the public's priorities might be with their recreation time. For some people, baseball is very important. The county commissioners, in making this decision, number one, if it was just a baseball park, Senator Limmer, the votes weren't there on the county board. But combining it with youth sports, and they've spent that money, and it's in lots of communities, and they don't even administer it. The county board was so concerned about that issue as to how these dollars would go out with on youth sports that they divested themselves of the selection process, and that's done by the youth commission. And so others are making the decision, but the funding dollars comes from a portion of the sales tax. Same thing with library hours. It's been in Minneapolis and the other Hennepin County communities that without that sales tax, those extended library hours would not occur because everybody's sensitive about the property tax, and rightfully so. In other cities, sometimes they build things and the sales tax can only be used for the building, and the maintenance of that operation falls on the property taxpayers. Hennepin County has chose not to go that route.
Mr. Chair.
Most importantly, there have been elections for all of those county commissioners, and no one lost their election as a result of their vote for the 0.15% sales tax. And I think that's the ultimate decision by those local voters.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Schreiber and others, I can understand why the county would want to divest themselves of this issue as fast as they possibly could since last year. They don't want anything to do with stadiums or maintenance or any other provision. They want to get clear of it. And having had them now make a statement that they're opposed to this provision, I can see why. There's quite a cash flow in the balance. There's quite a cash flow at risk once the stadium is paid off, and now they want to keep it going. Now, City of Minneapolis also has a similar provision. I think they paid off a convention center, and that tax keeps going. We keep getting promised that these taxes are temporary, and they keep becoming, they are drawn into a perpetual state. If there has ever been a message that I consistently hear from the people of Minnesota, is that there is no such thing as a temporary tax in the state of Minnesota. It's only designed that way to lure in some naive legislators to vote for it, to justify it that way, but believe me, it's going to continue. And I would hope that in reflection of the new majorities in the legislature, we might do something different. That'll be up to the legislature to decide. And we also know that the library issue was thrown in there to literally get the interest of a few wayward legislators so they could justify the vote at that time. There's no question Hennepin County has a state-of-the-art library system. I think they have a regional library in almost every city in the county, almost, or some type of outpost on it. It probably overwhelms the Library of Congress right now based on the resource that they have. And so, quite honestly, I think it's time to start telling the people exactly what we intended and stand by the rule that a tax that's designed to be temporary should be temporary, and that we should put a sunset on it when that purpose is over.
Thanks, Senator Lieber. And I have quite a list here, and that's fine, but we will wrap this up by 10:05. We do have some folks that have driven in some distance from out of town, so the discussion can continue. But we'll go to Representative Loon, Luncheski, and then Senator Rose and Representative Loon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and perhaps either a question for Mr. Schreiber or maybe Ms. Dalton, just to refresh me on what the amount of annual collection is on the sales tax, and then what of that amount goes into reserve or is dedicated for reserve.
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Loon, the last collection amount I have is for calendar year 2009, and the Hennepin County tax raised $25.89 million. I cannot tell you exactly how much goes to each of the uses. I don't have that breakout.
Representative Loon.
Thank you. Mr. Schreiber, would you have any more information on what amount goes into reserve or for additional purposes here?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Loon, I think we need a finance person from Hennepin County who can provide those. I can tell you that they have defeased some of the highest interest rate bonds already because, quite frankly, the revenues are coming in a little over projections.
Representative Loon.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I wasn't in the legislature when this passed, and I have heard from a number of people who are upset about it continuing, but, you know, the vote's been done, the ballpark's built, and that. But I must say, you know, in the sense of being consistent here in the legislature, having a hard and fast date by which the sales tax would blink off, and particularly in the fact it was done without referendum, is something that I think makes a great deal of sense. And I also have concerns. I don't have any qualms about youth sports activities, but as opposed to a library system, which is operated and maintained by the county, these youth sports activities are generally very local, city by city. And we are asking, you know, the taxpayers across Hennepin County to pay additional sales tax for what in most cases is going to be for the youth sports in another city when they're probably contributing to the youth sports in their communities as well. So I do have a concern about that.
Mr. Chairman, if I might clarify on that, on the youth sports, it's for capital only, not operations. What's the demographics of Hennepin County has been changing from youth sports of baseball to immigrants who love soccer. The demand for soccer fields has been enormous. So many of these communities not having the property tax wherewithal to build new soccer fields have applied for and received funds from this source for building the soccer fields and other facilities as well.
Here for Luncheski, then we'll wrap up with Senator Rose and Representative Luncheski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to correct a number of misperceptions that might be going on in the room here. The tax raised $25 million last year. 25.898. If you take out, because people will always make this argument who don't live in Hennepin, yeah, but I go there and I spend money there, so I'm really paying it. Okay, if you take the Department of Revenue numbers, if you take out a very liberal view of who's spending that sale, buying things in Hennepin, it's $23.8 million on the residents of Hennepin. You know, so there's 8% of the dollars are raised by somebody else. You know, somebody who's driven in from Anoka or from Dakota County, you know. I mean, so imagine the example in my district. I live, the border of my district is Burnsville. If people drive to Burnsville, they don't pay it. If you go to the Walgreens 2 miles from my house, you don't pay it. If you go to the Walgreens 1 mile from my house, you pay it. I mean, what kind of possible public policy was that? Well, we get it. You know, we're not, those of us in Hennepin understand, 25%, 24.6% of the House and 27% of the Senate is paying for this twin stadium for everybody else. So all these other legislators didn't have to pay for it. You know, so it's easy to raise taxes on people when they're not your constituents. I understand that. I think it's unfair. I think it was wrong, but that ship has sailed. So let's talk about this bill. This bill says not that this tax can be turned off today or tomorrow. It's going to be a couple, probably 20-plus years before it's going to be turned off if we pass this bill. It just means someday it's going to be turned off as opposed to forever. This bill, what's going on in this bill just says you have to turn off someday. And to answer Representative Loon's question, Hennepin County defeased the bonds in 2009, collecting $25.898 million. They used $4 million of that to defease the bonds. So they used $21 million not to defease the bonds. There's a lot going on. And you know, I have to say, if I were one of these county commissioners, I want to support Senator Limmer. The way you prove the intent to the people of Hennepin that you simply meant this for what it was designed is you come in here and you support this bill. Because you still get the Twin Stadium, you still get libraries and youth sports. And I said in testimony when the Hennepin County Commissioners were testifying, Mr. Chair, and it represented Pepin's committee, and then it was heard in property taxes and taxes made through three committees in the House. That when the Hennepin County Commissioners were testified, I said, you know, the whole youth sports and library thing is a red herring in my estimation. It's the frosting over the stuff to make people can say, oh, we can never turn this tax off because we care about soccer. I mean, I have a family of soccer players. I have one who was just accepted to play at a college. I live on soccer fields. I love soccer fields. I love libraries. Big part of our lives. That's not the issue. And I said in that committee, I would drop those provisions. I made the offer to drop those provisions. If that's what people are, you know, take that away then. Because the money, the bulk of the money, is not for those provisions. And so to the question on reserves, I asked in the hearing, I had a blank. You know, what do you want for a reserve? I called Hennepin County Commissioner McLaughlin and I asked him for the hearing. You know, so like, what's a reasonable reserve? Still no answer. So I just made it up. I thought, I'm going to be so generous they can never say no, and we can change that in here. I said $20 million a year. A year. A year. $20 million. You can keep floating in the reserves, and then you can use that money for the wear and tear. And Senator Limmer, you were bringing up the wear and tear issue. That's already in the bill. That's how the bill left in 2005. And for members, you know, who just because these are real bills and they're in front of us, it's on Article 4 in the language. And I will tell you that the law that was passed, uses of the tax, very, very clearly state, are they are to pay for the cost of the collection of the tax, to pay or reimburse or secure the payment of any principal, premium, or interest on the bonds, to pay costs and make expenditures and grants described in this section, including financing costs, to maintain reserves. It's already in there. That's current law. And mine doesn't take that out. For foregoing purposes, to pay for operating costs of the ballpark authority, to make expenditures and grants for youth activities and amateur sports and extension of library hours. And the problem is there's no cap on the reserve. All I'm doing is adding a cap of $20 million a year. In testimony in the House, the Hennepin County Commissioner McLaughlin and then his representative in another committee said that they were spending significantly less than that. So this allows you to build up $20 million every year and then dump it back into changing the light bulbs year after year after year. But you can't get past 20. And I think that's already giving too much here. So, I mean, members, this is a really serious thing. I know we're, you know, Mr. Chair, you're trying to move on, and I hope we bring in the Hennepin County Commissioners and talk about this more. This is a minority of the state is paying sales tax every day for, on, you know, at least 25 years we're going to pay it, even if this bill passes, to build a stadium for everyone else. And I think it's pretty simple. People should be able to hear that this tax will shut off. It was not designed to run the county. It was not designed to supplement their budget. And if they want to come here and say, we would like a local option sales tax for our county to fund core services like jails and Hennepin County Medical and Center and whatever, then they should do that. But that's not what this tax was for. It was for the stadium. That's how it was pitched to everybody. That's how it was promised to everybody, and it needs to be turned off. Very simple. Doesn't take any tools away from the county that they already have. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Chesky. We'll wrap up with Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my comments were actually what Representative Loon was talking about, the projections over the estimates. I know they have been the revenue's been coming in quite well. And I think the only reason that's worthy of the discussion is because we are actually taking the annual escalator off the taconite production tax. So there is a valid argument on this. However, and I want to state this very clear, I'm very tired of hearing about being stuck to, or that we're being the people that voted for this are snickering in the hallways, or that we're being naive about this, because by golly, this was voted by the legislature and it passed, and we need to just move forward. And like I said, the only reason I would support this is because we are doing this to the production tax, taconite production tax. We do have a commitment to this legislation, and we did, and it is to the youth sports and to the libraries, and I think we should honor that. I've got libraries that are closing in my Senate district. I would love to have some of these dollars. And you actually have a first-class stadium in your county that draws a lot of people, a lot of businesses, a lot of revenue, and, you know, congratulations. That's what I want to say to you. Awesome. But I am tired of being accused of voting for this bill and supporting the Twin Stadium and trying to make this state better. That's what I want to say. But I will support it if the chair would like that. Just on the grounds that we're doing it to something else also.
Senator Rosen, and the second final statement, Senator Ortman.
Thank you. I just have a question about this, and hopefully folks can inform me. I struggle with the transparency. For me, transparency is important, that the folks that pay taxes know what benefits they get for those taxes. And I know that this was a carefully negotiated and crafted piece of legislation. I didn't support it, but I know what efforts went in to accomplish it. And my question is one of transparency. How would a resident of Eden Prairie know where their dollars are going with the way that this is being implemented? And what opportunity would a resident of Eden Prairie have to weigh in to how that money beyond the Twin Stadium uses are being used? And if there are soccer fields being put up in communities, how would an Eden Prairie resident who pays the local option sales tax or the sales tax or a visitor to Hennepin County know how that money is being spent? And I think for me that's a priority for taxpayers, that they get a chance to see not only how much they pay in tax, to whom does the tax get paid, and to whose benefit does the tax accrue? And I think that's a question that can't be answered. It's intended to be a rhetorical question, but I think it's an important one for the tax committee to consider when we consider this provision.
Thank you, Chair Ortman. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Shriver.
Mr. Chair.
No
long speech, but on that certain night at 3 o'clock in the morning, And the Twins bill, I'm not sure any of us had, maybe some closer, but most of us didn't have an opportunity at that point to dwell into the depths of this legislation. I suspect there would have been a floor amendment that night that would have sunsetted this at a certain point. We would have probably all supported it. I think, you know, the argument makes sense.
Thank you, Senator Central. Okay, Representative Rumbeck.
Are we
on to something else, Mr. Chair? Or?
Yeah, we're moving on. Thank you, Mr. Schreiber. Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to kind of shift gears for a moment. I know the meeting is about over, but I think we all woke up this morning to an interesting headline. Didn't make the front page. I guess that's still all consumed with Osama bin Laden. But it reads, Dayton stands firm on budget, and a very interesting quote from him. He's saying, we won't leave the session with a budget that is $34 billion. And I had to just shake my head because, you know, ultimatums and demands coming from the governor when there has been very little engagement and very little offered in terms of alternative ideas, alternative ways of getting to the end, I think is a very peculiar position to take. And I hope that we can say to the governor that we will not leave the session with a $37 billion budget. That is a firm, firm stand that we have to take. And I would like to just sort of quickly reflect back, you know, and I think the commissioner needs to, because you weren't here either, I wasn't here 2 years ago, but 2 years ago, it's instructive to realize that we had a deficit then of $4.6 billion in the February forecast of 2009. It was the start of the recession. The start of the recession, when you guys, when the DFL ended up that legislative session in June of 2010, we still had a $3 billion deficit. All right? What, you know, and I think you need to realize this, Governor, or Commissioner Franz, because the DFL balked. During the recession, the DFL balked at doing anything about spending cuts, not realizing, not thinking perhaps that in a nationwide recession that the state budget maybe should take some cuts, maybe should do some budget adjustments. No. The DFL did a mere, meager $500,000, not even $500,000 cut in that biennium. And so you handed off, they handed off another $3 billion. Much of this is from the past, okay? So I want you to, Commissioner Franz, talk to the governor. And two questions. I want you to ask him, shouldn't the state budget adjust for a national recession? Will you ask him that, please?
Chair David, Representative Runbeck. Of course, you know, we weren't here when this problem started several years ago, neither one of us. But let me make it very clear, Representative Runbeck, that the governor has proposed a balanced budget with both cuts and revenue as part of his budget. He is ready to move forward on that. And the questions that I've had before with this committee in terms of being ready to negotiate, we're ready to negotiate today. I'm here as the chief negotiator for the governor on the tax bill. We're ready to start negotiating once this committee adopts its targets, once this committee adopts a bill. Obviously, as you're discussing, there are major differences in that, and the headline points that out. But the governor's budget has taken into account cuts, and it has proposed revenues that we believe will solve the problem that has been caused in large part because of the recession. So the governor has considered those issues in all seriousness and has proposed a budget that we believe will solve those problems going forward, Representative. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner Franz, I mean, I just direct you again to the pie chart. 5% of his solution is a budget cut. 95% of his solution is something else. Most of it is increased taxes. I mean, it's an unbelievable solution. 5% of it is all he would like to see in cuts. We got to start talking real. Thank you.
Representative Bloom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and excuse me, I'm suffering from a cold, so bear with the voice. But, Commissioner, you and I had a nice conversation a day or so ago in my office and talking about this, and again, reading the newspaper article this morning, I am a little disappointed. You know, we're going to have to figure out a way through this and resolve this budget issue. I mean, we are constitutionally mandated to do that, and so we will. But, you know, as been very clearly stated by Representative Runbeck, and I think most people on our side of the aisle, you know, as our economy is beginning to recover, we have seen some growth in revenues, and people are back to work, and tax revenues are coming in. But the escalation in spending that the governor has requested and seems to be insisting upon, if that article is accurate,
just leaves me great concern. And his proposal is, you know, an additional fourth tier bracket and that. And if you look through, I've got a series of newspaper articles over the last couple of years of states who have all been grappling with the deficit and the recession and that. And a lot of them went sort of the route of, you know, call it a millionaire's tax, whatever you want to call it. And it hasn't panned out for most of those states. A lot of them are either repealing it because it didn't collect the revenues that it was projected to collect or had other negative impacts, and so it just it didn't work for them the way they had intended. And I very much worry that that would be the case in Minnesota if the governor's proposal were to prevail. And so in looking at the demographic information that I'm sure this committee is and you are well aware of about how we have the baby boomers beginning to retire, and much of our workforce is going to be moving into retirement, and fewer workers coming in, how do we continue to grow spending at this rate, at the rate the governor's proposed, with those demographics on the horizon? If it's this rate of tax increase now, what will the rate of tax increase be in the next biennium to further increase that budget? You know, from the studies that I've read, when I first came into the legislature 2 years ago, one of the first briefings we had was on this demographic information that was done. And I remember reading somewhere in there a cautionary note that it was something like 1995 was the year in which the legislature had better get serious about this, because if you wait until, you know, 2010 or so, it may be too late to be able to get a handle on the fact that our revenues are going to be decreasing by virtue of our demographic changes. And yet here we are. And so I don't think we can wait any longer. We have got to get a handle on reducing spending, and I don't see that reflected in what the governor's proposing.
Okay, let's get back to this, the sales tax issue, but this is somewhat interesting here as I read this. We won't leave session with a budget that's $34 billion. We'll leave the session with it unresolved. Commissioner, if you could just take a message back to my good friend the governor, it looks like he's given up. We have 17 days left in this business. That's a lifetime. Tell them don't quit. I mean, amazing things happen within 24 hours around this place. I hope he'll start negotiating with us. He's new here. We've got to train him a little bit. It'll be fine. But don't give up. We can do this with a $3 billion increase in revenue. So let's get to something much less controversial. Could we go to the Rochester sales tax? Please. If we could, if the my good friends from Rochester could please join us at the table. And it'd be my intention to take testimony from our friends from Rochester, and then we will, I'm aware that there are some folks that have some concerns. We'll certainly want to hear from them. Could we get the whole Rochester delegation folks up here? Do we need Mr. Smith or Mr. Wade or Mr. Newman, your city administrator?
They're close enough.
Yeah. We're good?
We're good.
Okay, welcome to the tax conference committee. We have 5 minutes to make your case, then we'll give the same time to folks that may have concerns, and then we will wrap it up for the day. Thank you so much for being here, Mr. Wade, and President Hansen, President of City Council. Who would like to start?
I'll get started. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for having us here. It was a great conversation I've heard this morning. I don't get up here very often. And
Mr. President. Yes. I keep cutting off the president. Pat Dalton, and I've written on my sheet, go to Dalton first on everyone.
That's okay.
I'm sorry. Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Rochester provisions are in Section 6 through 8 of the House bill and Section 16 through 18 of the Senate bill. They are both an extension to the Rochester sales tax requiring a general election in 2012. The big difference is that the House bill only authorizes $101.5 million of projects and has a very detailed list of what those projects are. The Senate bill more closely reflects the original Rochester bill. It's $160 million of projects, and the lists are a little bit more generic.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dalton. Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. I just want to state for the record that on my birth certificate, I was born in Preston, just so you know. So, can you imagine?
Do you support the Lanesboro sales tax?
I love Lanesboro. We used to have our family reunions there all the time. Great place. That big merry-go-round they used to have, remember, at the park?
Yeah.
I got sick there once.
I stand up my knee there. President Hanson.
Well, thank you so much. I had this speech all written out that I was going to do, but I'm going to just shoot from the hip because I think that's what you people need to hear. You know, we've had our sales tax since 1983. Every time that it has been renewed, we've gone to the voters. We're very proud of that fact. We're proud of the fact that you folks let us do that. And I think one of the proudest moments we have was the fact that when we come up here to talk to you folks about a sales tax issue, we have a specific project list that we want to present to you, and that's what we go by. We don't come back to ask you for money to operate these projects that we build. We do it all on our own, but we're very proud of that. We're very proud of the fact that we support higher education in Rochester. We've spent over $9 million of local option sales tax money on higher education that I would bet that not another city in probably the nation has done. We're extremely proud of that. We've taken a little bit of onus off the state, you know, supporting the University of Minnesota. I mean, it's a great partnership, what I think we've formed, with not only the state, but also the local individuals in Rochester, the county. In our bill, we've asked for $17 million for county road projects. We think that's great also for the state of Minnesota because the county doesn't have to go to the MnDOT and ask for that kind of money. So we think that we've formed some great partnerships. We've done very well. We've been very honest with what we want to spend the money for. We spend the money on what we ask to spend it on. We don't come back and ask for money to operate the projects once they're finished. We've got tremendous support from all over our community. My good friends from the chamber, my good friends on the labor side, they actually agree on something. So we think that's great that so many supporters are willing to step up to the plate and say that Rochester's done wonderful things. We want to continue to do wonderful things, and we'd just like your support and allow us to have our voters go to the polls and vote this thing up or down. And one more quick comment before I turn over to John is you've been talking about the special election versus general election. Quite honestly, I'm in favor of a general election, except in this case, I think when you sit down and take a look at the projects we have, wouldn't it be great if we could have a special election for this one local option sales tax? Because think of the people that it would put to work. I mean, it's all about jobs, 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 whether you're up here, whether you're at the federal level or the local level, but we always talk about jobs. And with the projects that we've proposed, we can have people out digging in the trenches as soon as we get this thing approved. So, you know, waiting until 2012, I understand, you know, the policy and, you know, your philosophy on it, but I really think in this case we've got a proven track record on how well we've handled the money, how well we've spent the money, and the fact that we can take this money once it's approved. If we get a special election early this fall, we can have shovels in the ground before the first snowfall, and that's really what we're looking for. John?
Thank you, Mr. President. You mentioned your birth certificate. Could you please produce that? Mr. Wade, welcome to the committee, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us again. We appreciate your consideration of our request. But some of you have had the opportunity to hear that we anticipate, and I'm happy to come back, as I've said before, to talk about taxes that may prevent business from growing and expanding. We happen to believe this is one opportunity that we have to build on one of the nation's fastest growing economies. We anticipate growing 8,000 to 10,000 jobs in the next 10 years. There was a lot of good discussion earlier about, which is probably about keeping a team here at the end of the day, but and what that economic impact might be. Ours is about $9 billion a year today. We anticipate growing hundreds of millions of dollars in private sector investment into our region of the state. And there was a question asked earlier about, you know, what is regionality? What does that mean? 40,000 people a day come into our community to work. Our combined visitor population between Rochester and Preston is about 2 million visits a year to our community. It is growing. We have a huge demographic challenge in this state. It is going to be a challenge for us. One of the greatest challenges we're going to have is finding a workforce to grow into those jobs. This is a very big concern to us. We need some of these tools, and I would argue we need a special election because I would like to start this sooner than later. And I know there are a lot of reasons, but I have people around this state that don't even have to have an election, with all due respect. And that seems to, that may be all right. But we're asking to take this to the people, and we know not all of them are for it. You'll hear from some today. And I understand not everyone is for this. We've passed them 70-30 in some cases. But we always go back to the voters to make that decision. And I am grateful for everything this body does and that all of you do. We're simply asking for that opportunity again to go back to the voters of our community to continue to expand and grow one of the greatest economies in this nation. But we do need some tools to keep that up. And we appreciate everything you do in keeping a watchful eye on this state. Just let our people have the opportunity to vote. And again, whether that's up or down, give us the opportunity to do that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wade and Mr. Hansen. I just want to get something clarified here. Ms. Dalton, generally if a sales tax has expired, doesn't the current state statute say you have to wait 1 year?
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
Okay. Okay, questions. We're going to have some questions for Mr. Wade and Mr. Hansen.
Mr. Chair.
I've got Sarah on the list. I've got Anderson S. Ortman, okay. Senjum. Okay, let's do this. Yeah, let's go to the folks with concerns. Okay. And if you could stay right around,
sure.
And then we'll
sure.
have general questions for members. And I have on my list Anderson S. Ortman, Senjum. And then we'll open up the discussion. We were going to go till about 10:30, but we're going to go beyond that a bit. I think the Senate goes into session at 11. So this is a very important issue, so we will have as many questions as we can. 5 minutes and 30 seconds for the last group, so we have 5 minutes and 30 seconds for this group. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Cindy Mavis. I'm with Rochester Tea Party Patriots, M-A-V-E-S.
Welcome to the committee.
Representative Davids, representatives and senators, thank you for this opportunity to speak this morning. I will be referring to a chart that you hopefully have gotten as a handout. There's a couple charts on the page. I am opposed to the Rochester City sales tax extension for several reasons. First of all, I was at the meeting where they discussed this, extending this, and it was never discussed if we need to extend it, should we extend it. It was just how much can we get and what can we spend it on. Never once did they say, do we have a reason to extend this tax? So that is my main biggest thing. Originally, this was $120 million request. That's what the committee was told to find projects for. And then the city council and the mayor added on another $40 million of projects that they just thought we should have. If you look at the bottom chart, you can see I think the tax request is too large and for too long of a time. A 20-year commitment is too long to commit bond payments into the future. New projects are likely to come along that are a community priority above the one scheduled. Most sales tax limit them to 10 years before renewal. This one is double that. You can also see in there the different amounts that have been asked for every year. All of a sudden, we have gone from 39, 28, 72, 40 million to $160 million for 20 years. It's too big. It's too long. The top chart talks about the voting date for the referendum, which Mr. Hansen and Mr. Wade have addressed. You can see by that chart, when we have referendums, we've had 19% voters. We've had 16% voters. If you look at regular elections, we have 70%, 62, and, 89 in a presidential year. The people that are getting the money are going to get their voters out on a special election. The library is going to put a big thing, go vote for the library, and the whatever is going to get their people out. And the people who are opposed, they don't go to vote. It's the people who want something that go vote. We want a new president. We want to vote for something. You don't go to vote against something. So we would like to see this at the regular election. And if you need to make a special something so that they can keep it or something for the year until that special election, fine. But we'd like this to go to a regular election. In order to ensure that the voice of the people have been heard instead of lumping all the projects together, because $160 million is a huge amount. Maybe you want one project in there. We ask that you take these projects and separate them out. Take the road projects, you know, take the building projects, and separate them out and let us vote on those separately. Give the people the opportunity to vote their tax money for the things they want instead of just taking this humongous amount. Now, all that said, those are all provisions if you're going to pass this. Ultimately, I think Rochester has overreached, and since they don't want to take anything out of the bill, I would ask you to deny the bill and ask them to come back next year with a reasonable bill. They don't want you to pick and choose, so say no. Say, come back next year with something that's reasonable.
Thank you, Ms. Mavis. If you would please state your name and who represents the record, please, sir.
My name is Max Sullivan. I'm from Rochester, and I represent those that were unable to come today because of short notice.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan.
In addition to what has been said, and I don't have a joke for everybody, I'm not a good speaker as the previous people were, but I do have some facts I'd like to share with you. First of all, to date, since 1983, they have spent about $150 billion. Now they're asking for $160 billion for another 20 years. When does this end? Is 48 years long enough for a temporary tax? The other thing is that makes me upset is that they have put into the bill remaining funds must be placed in the city's general fund. This is becoming nothing more than a slush fund for the city. Why should they have to have the ability to put whatever amounts that they determine into their city fund for their own use? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sullivan. As far as your comment on short notice, I would like everyone to know that it was the crack staff of the House Tax Committee published the notice, I believe, Monday or possibly Tuesday, which around here is a lifetime. Okay, thank you very much for that. Why don't we get questions for the folks at the table first, and then we can come back and talk to the folks representing the city. Anderson S.
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't know if it's really a question for these folks, but I do share their concerns as far as doing this as a special election versus a general election. I really, when you look at the numbers and you have a 19% turnout on a special election held in June versus the general election, you have 70% to 89.8%. Clearly, in a general election, you are getting the true voice of the citizens of your city. And I think it would be better that you give them the opportunity to have their voice on this rather than, I'm pretty active myself, but an election on June 23rd, you're not going to find too many people home in the summer to vote on such an important issue that would impact their lives for 20 years. So I would strongly recommend that we not have the special election and leave it as a general election issue, but that's just my comment.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Representative Ortman. Senator Ortman.
Thank you. I share Representative Anderson's concerns, and the Senate policy has been leading to a pretty strong policy towards general election, and I can't lend my support without that. And so, Mr. President and Mr. Wade, I hope that you'll consider coming back to the table to tell us you support that. It would make it a whole lot easier for us here to support that and help you if you would at least hit that benchmark for us. I don't know about the amount. That the $160 million for 18 to 20 years seems like a long time, and I hope you'll address that specifically when you come back to the table, because it's a lot of money for a lot of years, and it doesn't look like a temporary tax. So explain to me why you think that's temporary. And I do want to help the city of Rochester, but there have to be some limits, and that general election one is one. To earn my support, you'll need to be supportive of a general election provision.
Senator Sanjib.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and maybe just a question consistent with what I've asked others, and perhaps as the city officials return, I think I know the answer to this one, but just generally speaking, what is the city sales tax bring to the table financially in a year.
We'll get the folks from the city back up here to answer.
Yeah.
I will
right.
first
yeah.
When the city officials come up. Any other questions from members? Conferees for the testifiers here, Ms. Mavis and Mr. Sullivan. Seeing none, thank you very, very much for coming in today on short notice. If we could have the officials from the city of Rochester, please. And we have joining us Mr. Wade, President Hanson, and then City Clerk, City Administrator, Deputy Administrator. What?
Assistant City Administrator.
Gary
Assistant
Newman.
City
Newman. Administrator.
Gary Newman.
Mr. Newman, welcome to the committee, sir. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the witnesses, I think you heard my question.
Just under $9 million.
Under $9
million. President Hanson.
Just under $9 million, yeah.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. Chair, President Hanson, so just under, or can we say kind of nine?
Nine.
Okay.
Mr. Newman? It's about $9 million. Pardon me.
About $9
million? Yeah.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. Chair, that's all.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, I will turn it over to Senator Ortman before we adjourn for comments about the next meeting. Senator Ortman will have the gavel. I almost got you promoted to... Who's the city administrator?
Steve Quindle.
Steve Quindle.
Oh, I better not kick him off.
Mr. Chair, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Mr. Mossman, we got to talk.
I'm sure he's a fine
Mr.
assistant.
Chair, one quick thing. After listening to the testimony, I think that we would be more than happy to put this in with the general election. So I don't want that to be a stumbling block for when your committee meets.
Hear that, Senator Ortman?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
He's cool.
Cool. Oh,
thanks.
Mr.
Okay, Runbeck.
Mr. Chair, now I don't know if the side-by-side we're looking at has still fairly general description of the projects, and I don't recall if the bill was specific or any more specific, but we were holding other cities to some pretty high standards in terms of specificity of the project, cost, and so on, and it seems like we ought to be treating people fair. So... Either it seems the tax should be cut off at a certain dollar amount, or we get some specifics, because I too agree. We don't want to see it going into a general fund, undesignated. So I'm asking for more. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Representative Runbeck, the city did actually give us a very specific list of their five. Big broad issues of transportation, higher education, regional youth and elderly community facilities, regional public safety facilities, and economic development purposes. That was their list of five areas, and gave us dollar amounts in the original bill. Subsequently, the city did provide us with a very detailed list of the specific transportation projects and the specific, infrastructure projects. To the extent that the House funded those projects, all of those projects are listed very specifically in the House language. But there are some projects that they wanted that are not in the House language.
Representative Runbeck.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not looking at that. I mean, we're not looking at renderings. We're not talking about specific buildings or, particular facilities, are we?
Ms. Dahl.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, using the House bill, there's $17 million of very specific transportation infrastructure improvements related to Highway 34, Highway 63, the Highway 63 and Highway 16 interchange, Phase 2 of Trunk Highway 52, widening of County State Aid Highway 22.
Ms. Dahl, could you please provide a list? The city has been very specific on the request, but we don't have it all here. Ms. Dalton does. If you could provide that to members, rather than reading through each highway and each intersection.
I was going to say, Mr. Chair, if you go to the language side by side on House Article 4, it's page 5 of that article side by side. The list is literally in the House language.
Thank you, Ms. Dahl. Representative Runbeck.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair.
then, you know, we need the language, I think, that says it shuts off when those projects are completed, it seems to me.
Mr. Newman?
Mr. Chair, Representative Runbeck, the way that language works is we have a specific dollar amount we can collect, and you have to estimate when that point's going to be because you have to provide advance notice. So there's just there's a little amount that might be left over, and that's the amount that's referenced to the general fund. There is a hard cap on the amount of money we can raise for projects. And I think that's fairly standard language that's been used in several other sales tax bills. I think maybe Ms. Dalton can clarify that.
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Runbeck, the city manager is correct. This is very standard language. This relates to the fact that under streamlined sales tax, we have to give at least 90 days notice of when a tax rate is going to change or blink on and off. And these tax rate changes can only happen at the end of a calendar quarter. And so because of that, there's no way for us to hit exactly that dollar amount. So this is just what do you do with that little extra that shows up. And we allow the cities to put that into their general fund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Lewin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. Well, first a comment, just that I must say I concur with comments of Senator Ortman and a couple of others that I think the general election provision is a reasonable one, just to make sure you're accurately gauging the support of your citizens. But either for the officials or Ms. Dalton, I'm trying to ascertain how the question would appear on the ballot from the language. Would each project that you're planning to do be described on the ballot, or would it be just one general question?
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, Representative Loon, there is no requirement that they do an individual question for each project. Generally, that has not been done in the past. Most cities, when they have held these referendums, have held the question has been fairly generic. They might list the $47 million for transportation, $38 million for economic development, but it's not a specific question. There have been a few times when the city has done specific questions. Probably the most notable is the St. Cloud area tax. They asked an individual question for each of their projects and had a separate vote on each of the projects and only funded the projects. But that is not the typical way. However, the Marshall provision that's in the House tax bill does actually require them to hold a separate question on each of the projects and can only be and therefore they could only use their sales tax for that project if it was approved by the voters separately.
I guess, Mr. Chair, just a question for maybe just the conferees at large. Is it what the city of Marshall asked for that, or is that just the various in the House or the Senate provision that put that in? I guess I'm trying to get a handle on, how we determine when that is appropriate, or is it up to the individual city?
Representative Loon, that was it's not even in the Senate, the Marshall plan. Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, the city did not ask for that. That is actually something that was added in the omnibus bill when we were putting the omnibus bill together.
Thank you. Ms. Dalton, was that actually done in Chair Runbeck's committee?
Mr. Chair, I believe so.
Okay. Representative Loon?
Thank you. And I think the city officials from Rochester would like to comment.
Mr. Newman?
Mr. Chair, Representative Loon, I believe at a minimum we'll have to have the categories similar to the way they are in the Senate bill with the dollar amounts. It may have to go beyond that, actually, in the question. There's some, we have to follow. There's certain legal requirements for bonds we have to do. So it won't be just $160 million for a sales tax extension. It won't be that brief a question. Usually the questions are fairly long. In addition, in order to get the information out to the public, there'll have to be a very good description and a lot of information provided. We can't spend funds on that, but there will be a committee. All of our issues have been done where there's extensive information that's provided to the community. So everybody will be well aware of what they're voting on, and so that will be part of the process.
Representative
Representative Lewin?
Well, just to close, the reason I asked the question is, no, my own city in the past, not through a sales tax, but their bonding, we've had specific questions on specific projects, and it was done because, you know, honestly, some passed and some did not. And so, you know, it does allow your citizens the option of, you know, supporting those that they're most supportive and not the ones that they don't want to do. And, that, you know, I just offer that up as something to think about.
Thank you, Representative Laura Simoncheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if Ms. Dalton knows or if it's really not a tax. It
Ms.
Might
Dalton
be,
knows everything.
Okay. It might be an elections committee, though. I just thinking about this for Senator Senjum. Does state law require that ballot order always have ballot questions last? Or do you vote for all these things and then you vote for Senator Senjum? Just curious. Ordering.
I vote for Senator Senjum first. Senator Senjum.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lucheski, yeah, you always put me on the top, and what happens subsequent to that is up to the city clerk. But I'm more seriously, you know, I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I don't either. Mr. Chair.
I bet Ms. Dalton does.
Yeah, I would like to know. I don't know if that's a standard.
Mr. Chair, I do not know the answer, but I can certainly find the answer out before we meet again.
I'm stunned.
It's a different committee.
Until we meet again, we will get that answer from Ms. Dalton, and she will give us the answer. Senator Senator, do you have anything else right now?
Not at the moment, no.
Representative Anderson asks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just briefly, how much does it cost for you guys to hold those special elections of those that were listed here?
Mr. Newman?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, I'd have to venture a guess, but it probably would be probably about $75,000.
Per election?
Yeah, for a special. I can check into that if you would like that information.
Representative Anderson? Any other questions? And I would just like to close on this issue before I go to Senator Ortman. I'm looking forward to working with the city officials of Rochester, my good friend Senator Senjum, and all the other conferees on this issue, and including the folks that have concerns. We're going to listen to all angles, and we'll see what we can put together with that. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We have not officially planned out the agenda for our next meeting. We'll be meeting today to do that and hope to post something for our next meeting tomorrow. So we will not meet over the weekend, we assure you, and the notice should be posted tomorrow. So we will be recessing to the call of the chair.
Thank you, Senator Ortman. And I would just like to thank everyone that had provisions in today's discussion from all the various cities around the state, and for the conferees. And good government all the time. Conferees were adjourned.